Hey, folks. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I'm going to throw a purple stick in. I haven't had any today. I just realized that. I've had zero today.
Did you take attention?
I've been running on no attention factor.
No attention factor.
I've been running on hopes and dreams this morning, early this morning.
Dreams. Have you had your eggs yet?
Yeah, I did my eggs. That's what stabilized me on here.
I had three eggs
this morning. It was great. Three eggs, four eggs. I think I had four eggs.
Yeah. Oh, well, the eggs are great.
Yeah, eggs are great. Cooked in nice raw butter.
Swimming in a pool of butter.
I don't put that much. You like these raw butter. The problem is if you don't want the eggs to stick, if you're trying to make them over easy or over medium, you're not using a nonstick pan, which I don't use, you got to use a lot of butter.
You have to.
Because they stick.
And if you try to use olive oil in it, it doesn't work because it burns.
Doesn't work. So you got to, just a side note, stainless steel, you're not using nonstick.
Or cast iron.
Yeah, you do cast iron. You still got to use a lot of butter cast iron.
Yeah, but you got to keep that thing scrubbed out or it starts getting all rusty.
Yeah, and if you guys noticed the product of the week, you guys voted and it won one of the most popular products we have. I scroll back through here on my list. The Magnesium Brain Food, the one and only Magnesium Theanate. It tastes amazingly well. On sale right now for over 10% off. You voted, which I wasn't surprised at all.
Magnesium Brain Food always wins.
It always wins. Last night, before I went to bed, I wanted to bump my vitamin C up a little bit. I took a scoop of the Magnesium Brain Food and a scoop of the vitamin C powder. That thing tastes like a doggone sweet tart drink. It was actually really good. I've never just magnesium, vitamin C powder, two together, one scoop of each, in water with nothing else.
You know, it's funny. I did the same thing last night.
Did you really?
I did.
Are you joking?
No, no, I did.
It tasted good.
Yeah.
It tasted like a liquid sweet tart.
Because I've got some more vitamin C powder from the office, and I have not had my Magnesium Brain Food yet, so I dumped it all together to take the rest of my supplements.
Just by itself. Try that. Let me know what you think about it. I drank it, and I was like, that actually tastes good. It had that sweet
tart
flavor to it. It reminded me of the old sweet tarts that I don't eat.
I took my vitamins with it. Oh, by the way, the Pentagon has tapped 600 military lawyers now to serve as temporary immigration judges.
I saw that.
They can't get
bogged down.
Well, because Trump said we're going to deport millions of people.
How do you do that?
You can't do that. You have to go through legal process. You can't just throw them on a plane and get rid of them.
No.
Which I thought you could when he said he was going to do it because who's the president? He can't even do it. They ruled it. They can't do that.
Nope. It doesn't even matter if they're gang members. Doesn't matter if they're convicted felons.
Well, once you get your foot in the United States of America, you have to be legally deported.
Another country's like that.
You go sneak
into some place over in Europe, you get caught doing something. Well, I guess no, though, because you got all these migrants that have moved over there that are raping and pillaging Europe.
Well, Europe's gotten to a mess, but let me read this article. It's pretty good. It says, according to a federal government memo reviewed by the Associated Press, the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has directed the branches of the armed services to transfer 600 military lawyers to the Justice Department to serve as temporary immigration judges, following an urgent request for the assistance from the Department of Homeland Security. The move is intended to ensure that President Trump's deportation of criminal illegal aliens proceeds smoothly. The August 27th memo stated that the military will send the first tranche of 150 attorneys, both military and civilian, to the DOJ as soon as possible. The first group is expected to arrive at the DOJ next week. It's going to take a minute, though, to spool this up. He did not confirm whether the AP's report about the 600 military lawyers was completely accurate, but noted the request for legal personnel came from the DOJ. This comes as immigration courts face mounting backlogs, hundreds of thousands, among Trump's nationwide crackdown on criminal illegal aliens. It's important to note that immigration judges determine whether individuals are eligible for relief or face removal. You know, it's funny to me. They're sitting there in front of an immigration judge. Somebody is completely illegally here in the United States of America. They have snuck across the border. They may be a criminal gang member.
Yeah.
They have all this evidence against them, and they have to decide by judge. But that's our Constitution.
Yep.
And that's what keeps us from being deported. Because remember, Trump at the beginning was deporting American citizens.
Well, no, that one guy, and that's what got a lot of publicity. The guy ended up being an American citizen. Yeah. He got deported. They're like, Trump, this isn't a good look for the Constitution, guys.
Can't
start deporting Americans back to wherever you picked them up from or thought from.
You can't be doing that.
Yeah.
By the way, Hegseth also has said to narco terrorists, assets are gathering in the region. This is to hint, Venezuela.
Well, you saw that video yesterday with the 11 guys run that dope with the airstrike.
After drug boat blown apart in a missile strike.
Yeah, the Operation Lethal Strike on a drug boat said they have 11 Trinidad members, and I don't know if they didn't say what they knew they were running. If they were running heroin, they were running fentanyl, okay. Probably both.
First of all, This is important that we do. This is stop for one second.
Okay.
Okay. They're saying that these 11 militants were killed, right? Well, first of all, they don't even know if they're Trendy or Agra militants or not. They're all dead.
Well, it depends the intel they got before. I mean, we got to remember. Here's the thing. We can watch, listen, and observe everybody from every angle, the entire world now, without anybody even knowing it.
But don't we need a precipitating incident?
Yeah.
Don't we need a reason to make us look good for being there?
Yeah.
So we just killed a narco boat full of 11 terrorists.
Probably.
And he says, breaking news, Secretary of Defense speak. Hexas says that the dissemination of a narco-terrorist cartel boat leaving absolutely no evidence from Venezuela is only the beginning. Oh. Assets are gathering in the region. President Trump is willing to go on the offense in ways that shows others have not been, and to send a clear message. Hexas explained that the military action to disrupt the command and control modes of the Trendy Aragua narco-terrorists won't stop there. Wow.
Well, I mean, there's two sides to this. A, I mean, I love the fact that they're knocking out drug boats as far as...
We don't know if it's a drug boat.
But I like the concept. Let me clearly put it this way. However, I think it should be very, very crystal clear to everybody now. If you understand what we do, it is pretty much a 99% certainty we are going to invade Venezuela. Let you know that.
Well, you know,
or we're going to have direct action elements going in there and destabilizing things to put in a new individual.
You got to remember, the CIA's got to control the drug craft.
And they got to control the oil.
And the oil.
Yeah,
and remember, the boys that breathe the free air, they're telling everybody what to do.
Yeah.
This is just all being orchestrated. Yesterday's kinetic strike against narco-terrorists, supposed narco-terrorists, transporting supposed illegal drugs, is a forced posture maneuver of the U.S. military positioning warships in the Caribbean Sea in recent weeks while Maduro stages war drills. You know, you stop and you look at this stuff.
Both sides are rattling. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And so it begins, Western Hemisphere defense. A reminder that drug catastrophe kills 100,000 Americans every year. Well, let's talk about all the fentanyl coming in and the fentanyl being made here and all the stuff that's been legalized here. It's crazy. Every year, 100,000 people die, many of them working-age men and women, i.e. military age. In other words, the fentanyl crisis is seen by some as the national security world as a reverse opium war. Remember, twice as many people die every year from drug abuse in the United States as did in the Vietnam War.
No, it's gotten
bad. You got to put the numbers
especially
on it. You know, earlier this morning, on my orders, U.S. military force conducted a kinetic strike against positively identified Trendy Aragua narco-terrorists in the Southcom area of my responsibility, Trump said. The strike occurred while the terrorists were at the sea in international waters. Okay, that's good. Transporting illegal narcotics, heading to the United States. The strike resulted in 11 terrorists killed in action. That's what happens when you fire a hellfire missile,
yeah.
You know, into a little boat.
We may have a little AC-130 gunship up there just chilling out.
A sizable U.S. Martin currently sits afloat in the waters where the strike occurred. Four destroyers carrying Tomahawk cruise missiles and more than 4,500 Marines and sailors are deployed now in the area for immediate deployment.
Oh, yeah.
11 deaths of the U.S. military action in the South Caribbean is quite significant, but they were in international water, I will say that. If they're found to be Venezuelan sailed citizens, how are they going to be found to be Venezuelan citizens?
There's nothing left.
There's nothing left of them. Will certainly raise tensions much higher with Caracas. Trump has released footage of the strike. So what they'll do, they'll find a fingertip somewhere in the water, maybe, and they'll put it. They'll basically do a fingerprint on it.
Well, my favorite. My always favorite were the.
You kind of don't need to kill all the evidence.
Well, my thing was always the indestructible passports on 9/11.
Well, no, you know,
the whole buildings come down.
First
also,
of all,
we got the passports.
First of all,
guys.
We got a little rubber raft or whatever the heck this thing was running across the ocean, right, with 11 people on it carrying drugs. Why did they just intercept it? They have the whole bunch of ships out there right now.
That's a valid point.
They didn't have to blow it to smithereens.
They could have just stopped them.
They could have just stopped
them. Lit them up with a 240.
They would have stopped. They could put some 50 caliber shots in front of them and say, you need to stop right now or we're going to hit you with a hellfire missile.
That is valid.
We're stopping. Okay, we need ID.
Well, no, and then they take them and interrogate them. They're in international waters.
Yeah.
Find out what they're really doing, what they're really up to, who they're involved with. You're right, that was a bit of a obtrusive engagement.
Well, it's kind of an overkill. Oh, that's right. They're all dead. It wasn't that. That's an overkill. Yeah, how do you identify that?
I would like to have taken in more international waters, interrogate them, and find out what they're doing, what their ops are doing. Those guys would have spilled their beans on it. Been like, hey, listen, we don't want to get shot. Just
The Michael Tracy said it this. He goes, this is what Tulsi Gabbard had to say the last time the Trump administration was running a regime change op in Venezuela. Oh, is that what we're going to call this now? Yeah. Now they're doing it again, except with much more firepower this time. And she's part of it, kind of how she did a complete 180 in her Iran views. You know, and then she said, Tulsi Gabbard, she said, this is what she said back in 2019. The United States needs to stay out of Venezuela. Let the Venezuela people determine their own future. We don't want other countries to, you know, choose our leaders. So we have to stop trying to choose theirs. Oh, but that's right. The International Banking Cartel wants control of Venezuela and their largest oil reserves in the world. Last Friday, Stephen Miller, Deputy White House Chief of Staff, described the fresh military buildup of Venezuela in its regional waters to combat and dismantle drug trafficking organizations. So they cannot be competing against the CIA, I'm adding that, criminal cartels and these foreign national terrorist organizations in our hemisphere. Analysts have questioned just how larger military presence will disrupt the drug trade as opposed to conventional law enforcement. Well, I think the CIA is going to disrupt it now. Just kill everybody. You know? Among other things, some of the seaborne drug travels to the United States via the Pacific, not the Atlantic, where the U.S. forces are, and much of what arrives via the Caribbean comes on clandestine flights. But they don't have the spectacular view of a Hellfire missile hitting a raft full of 10, 12, 11 people saying, look what we did, look what we did.
I'm on your take, though, with the fact of, I wish they would have intercepted them and basically, you know, apprehended these guys.
It's the military. They could do it. They could drop a couple of 50 caliber rounds and sink the boat.
Yeah.
They don't have to kill everybody on board. They could actually question somebody.
I mean, if they really were trend members, I mean, those guys are absolutely barbaric. I could care less about them getting killed.
But
I would have liked to have at least identified what they're involved in, what their plans were. You could go in and, you know, somebody's going to spill.
But remember, all of the stuff we do requires precipitating incidents.
That's true.
Remember, the Archduke Ferdinand got shot.
Yeah.
That started us into World War I. And then all of a sudden, you know, Germany and Russia invaded Poland. And Russia was basically, you know, involved in all that. And England had a non-aggression pact, you know, with Poland. And basically, England declares war on Germany and not on Russia, even though both countries. No, everything requires a precipitating incident. Gulf of Tonka.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Vietnam War. That never really happened. Okay? Nobody wants to talk about all of these false flags that occur and all of these incidences that happen. Oh, we're intercepting narco-terrorists and rafts. We're killing them. Now there's another group. Now we're killing 2,000 of them. Oh, look at this. Now there's 100,000 need to die. Where do you draw the line, Austin?
Well, it's not that. I just, like I said, I would like to, if they really, you got to think about it from a strategic standpoint, if they really were wanting to prevent a lot of this stuff, they need to intercept them and figure out who they're with, what they're doing, what they're involved with, who's basically funding them.
Dead men tell no tales.
That can answer the question. When switching gears, another topic, though, with more wildness, the appeals court now is allowing the EPA to cancel the $16 billion in climate grants. The divided federal appeals court on September 2nd
about
ruled
time.
The Trump administration can terminate $16 billion in grants to nonprofits intended to finance climate-related projects. This is nuts as far as how much money the EPA and these groups are getting to do nothing. When you look some of this stuff up, it was nothing. Listen, the EPA terminated the grants amid concerns over lack of oversight. The program, listen to this, known as the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, was approved and got a $20 billion grant initially, and eight entities launched climate-related projects. He said the decision in the program was based on substantial concerns regarding program integrity, objection to the award process, and problematic fraud, waste, and abuse. So what they were doing is they were giving more money out the more these agencies. This is all USAID style again, but through the EPA. You guys need to do the research on what happens when these vehicles, you know, basically don't have emission controls and how much we need to fine people and basically figure out what's going on. This is the crazy part about it. Was this camera, Rich? Audio only, middle camera. That's fine. We'll run the middle camera. The I don't know what's going on. Interesting, and sometimes it happens. I guess it's like me. I'm kind of listening now. But yes, I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday that works at a Chevy dealership, and he was bringing up the topic of how what they're pretty much saying now is GM.
That's the
camera. GM.
That's great.
GM
must have a loose connection.
GM isn't going to take off a lot of these emission control systems.
They can't because of California.
California, and you got to remember, a lot of these parts were already contracted in advance. A lot of these systems and EGRs and DPFs.
But can we take them off?
That's where the area is starting to become now, is he said pretty much what GM's looking at is essentially making this stuff so the tuning, they're going to be able to backtrack some of this tuning so we don't have, because right now what's happened is all this stuff gets like real-time updating, so it's really hard to tune and delete them because you have this constant updating with the Chevy, with GM, because of all the parameters that the EPA's mandated have to constantly be changing and changing and changing. So there may be a possibility, and again, I don't know this yet, it's still up in the air, maybe a possibility that essentially they're going to deregulate and decriminalize emission control systems on the diesels, meaning they're still going to leave them on there, but the dealerships don't care if you touch them or basically change them anymore. It goes back to 08.
That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. I mean, you can go buy a truck, and especially if you use it for farm use, right? Okay, no. I've talked to guys that no one wants to have 100 gallons of DEF. They got to store. They got to keep putting in their truck, and it goes into limp mode if you don't put enough DEF in it, and it's overheating out in the field. There's a reason why they held stuff for off-road use only, and a lot of times if it went in between, it didn't matter. And then the EPA came in 2008 with their infinite stupidity and came out with the DPFs, which ruined the 6.4 Scorpion, by the way. Remember, that motor was not supposed to have DPF.
4-foot flame out.
Well, they didn't have DEF fluid back then. They said, we're going to dump a ninth injector into the DEF. We're going to light all the soot on fire, burn it out every 1,000 miles. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
Horrible fuel mileage.
Oh, go down 6 miles a gallon. Yeah. I remember I had one.
It's awful.
And so a lot of this funding is getting cut back from the EPA, which is great for the American population. Less waste and abuse and fraud, and B, less money we're paying taxes to fine us for doing tuning the vehicles.
Well, we're going to say one thing, though. If you do have a vehicle with emission control stuff on it, don't be listening to us to take the stuff
off.
Oh,
no. I'm
not giving you any advice.
I'm telling you what a dealer told me yesterday is a possibility that might possibly happen in the future,
Check with your state. Make sure your laws are okay and with your dealer before you do any of this. Because a lot of dealers, when you take the DPF off now, they will not take the vehicle.
Oh, none of them will.
They won't take it on trade.
None of them. None of the dealers will take them anymore now because all the federal EPA requirements.
Too many restrictions. $50,000
fine. They get caught with a truck that's basically deleted.
Oh, by the way, the world's largest group of genocide scholars, whoever they are, finds Israel guilty. The world's largest group of genocide scholars have overwhelmingly approved a resolution asserting that Israel's Gaza actions are genocide. Imagine that. The government of Israel is engaged in systematic and widespread crimes against humanity, wars, and genocide, including the indiscriminate and deliberate attacks against the civilians and civilian infrastructure, said the International Association of Genocide Scholars. How in the world do you become part of the International Association of Genocide Scholars?
That's a...
About a quarter of the International Association of they call them IJAGs. They can't even, it's too long, I guess. Members participated in the balloting with 86% voting to approve the resolution. The vice president in the University of Bundeswehr Munich, Professor Timothy Williams, told the Financial Times that the association believes there is a considerable merit to the largest group of these people saying that this is genocide. Well, you know, we don't need scholars telling us that when you come in and bomb civilian targets in hospitals and kill children with machine guns,
yeah,
it's genocide. Especially when you starve the people to death. And now Israel's saying they're considering cutting out the rest of the food going into Gaza.
Oh, yeah. But the ultimate goal is to starve everybody out. Eventually, everybody leaves.
Well, you give them $5,000.
Give them $5,000, starve them.
Unbelievable. I mean, so all of you people that are big pro-Israel fanatics, I don't know what to say.
Well, this is an interesting topic. I want to cover this today. I've always liked baked potatoes. I like a good baked potato. High glycemic index. Don't recommend.
Man, I tell you what, though, if you eat them and you got rheumatoid arthritis,
I'm talking about rheumatoid arthritis. I'm talking
potato. I'm letting you guys know that the eggplant, potatoes, bell peppers, you know, and those things, and white potatoes. If you've got rheumatoid arthritis, I had an email on this the other day. It will inflame the joints of rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, big time.
Yeah.
So be careful with these things. I mean, they're really high glycemic. A baked potato without anything on it has the same glycemic index, actually higher glycemic index, than eating a tablespoon of sugar.
That's why you got to lather it down in
real butter.
Grass-fed butter.
Oh, yeah. It does taste good.
I'm not recommending baked potatoes. Well, this is an article going, French fries versus baked potatoes. One raises diabetes risk by 20%. The other doesn't. The potato prep is what affects the diabetes risk. The high glycemic index remains the same. And it goes into detail here talking about how when they looked at this research, eating French fries just three times a week significantly raised type 2 diabetes risk by over 20%. And granted, you're still using white potatoes, so the glycemic index doesn't change. But they said what it does is that French fries are typically deep fried at very high temperatures with seed oil. The large amounts of the seed oil fried, usually trans fats, which increase insulin resistance and increase inflammation, combined with high temperature cooking that breaks down resistant starches, French fries become a perfect storm for blood sugar chaos. Significantly. So you still have potatoes. They're both potatoes. Frying them like that in deep fried seed oil at high temperatures massively changes the impact on the blood sugar.
You know, I just stay away from French fries. You know, you can bake them.
Oh, yeah. Now, you can't. I've had them done before.
Now, Sharon used to do that. She used to bake them.
And she did it with sweet potato fries, which actually is the better.
Oh, yeah. And sweet potatoes are much better.
Much better.
Much lower glycemic index. But she also did it with white potato fries, but they weren't fried.
They
were baked. And they were pretty, they were actually really good. Every time she made them, they were the first thing to get consumed. It was funny.
They never lasted.
They never even made it to the table.
They were eating off the pan.
Yeah, they were eating. Remember that?
Everybody scraped the pan. I walked in, I'm like, any fries left? Everybody's like, rawr, rawr. I'm like, I didn't get one. Pan's gone.
That's true.
So just thought I would bring that up there as far as with potatoes.
By the way, Florida State, for all of you Florida State fans, I mean, I graduated from Florida State three times.
You beat Alabama. You beat Alabama this weekend, didn't you?
But I'm going to brag about Florida State for a minute. I graduated. I have three diplomas from Florida State. I bleed garnet and gold. I do. And the people are always asking me, and I'm just going to be honest with you guys, this is terrible. I shouldn't even say this. Oh, this is terrible. I'm not going to say it.
Don't say it.
But I'm going to do it.
It's Wednesday.
I got to do it.
It's not Friday.
People always said, why did you get three diplomas from Florida State? There's a reason. My dad was paying. And, you know, he paid for my college. And it was so funny because I finished my fourth degree at Florida State. And the craziest thing about this was, I had had this childhood when I was 8 years old. I was emptying out septic tanks with buckets. It was awful. I was doing roofing and shingling and mowing yards. And, you know, I mean, my childhood ended at 8. Yeah, I was a German kid, right? Man muss immer arbeiten. You have to always work, right? And I'm like, okay, this is great, you know? So I'm thinking to myself, this is like living in hell at 8. It's horrible, right? And I couldn't even – then he had to dodge the pedophiles in the cottages.
Yeah, that was probably the worst part.
And the drunks and the guns and everything else.
And the deadfalls.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, even me and my deadfalls. but the crazy part was, you know, I was in college. And I'm thinking to myself, it won't get any better than this.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay here as long as I can. This is great. College getting paid for. This is amazing.
All the responsibilities, go to class.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and date. It was wonderful. And I really enjoyed my time at Florida State. So congratulations to all the FSU alumni and supporters and fans. We beat the yin-yang out of Alabama.
That's a big deal.
And they have us number 14 in the polls, and we weren't even ranked.
That's interesting. I didn't watch the game. Did Alabama have a team this year, or we actually played
Alabama
good?
Alabama wasn't bad, but we were just amazing. We were like we were 2 years ago when we won the ACC championship. I remember the guy, our quarterback, they were saying, well, you're playing Alabama. What are you going to do? And he goes, Alabama, they don't have Nick Saban to save them anymore. Okay. So now for you Alabama fans, we're unbelievably angry right now.
Sure.
My condolences to you that you fell out of the top 10. But we'll see what happens if we get to play you again. But a Florida State, who this guy did not play, by the way, on Saturday.
Okay.
Florida State University linebacker is in critical condition after being shot.
Shot.
You know, this is sad. Ethan Pritchard is in critical disabled condition after being shot Sunday night in Havana, Florida. He was shot just prior to 10 p.m., which is still early. The Associated Press reported Pritchard was shot while sitting inside a vehicle outside an apartment complex in Havana. WCTV noted that Gadsden County Sheriff's Office deputies responded to the shooting and found Pritchard wounded in the vehicle. The Sheriff's Office indicated officers did arrive and we were able to get him out of the vehicle and they transferred him to the local hospital. He's in critical but stable condition. My condolences to the family. I don't know where you were, Mr. Pritchard. I don't know what you were doing.
Havana is a small town.
It is.
It's only got like 2,000 residents.
It's tiny.
It's north of Tallahassee.
But I'm going to say something to you athletes very quickly, if any of you are listening to the show, and to anybody else who's willing to listen. You know, when you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, yeah, you end up in situations like this.
And we don't know the situation.
We don't know what the situation
is. I'm not speculating on it.
But obviously he was someplace he didn't need to be, or he wouldn't have gotten
someplace
shot.
Someplace didn't like him.
Something was going wrong.
Did he have a firearm? Was he self-defense?
I didn't say.
Okay.
But the sad part about all of this is that this happens a lot with NFL athletes and college athletes.
Yes.
And here's the problem that we have, and I'm just going to preach for just a second. a lot of people will self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Now, let me explain to you what that means. If you have a thermostat on the wall and you set the thermostat to 70 degrees, you know, every time it gets over 70, you know, it turns on. If you got the AC on. Every time it gets under 70, if you have the heater on, it turns on. So you're regulating your base temperature with a thermostat.
Right.
Our bodies and our brains are very much like that. We have a thermostat, and we have what's called a comfort zone. And that comfort zone doesn't like to be changed.
Yeah.
It takes time. You have to pray, and affirmations, and you've got to change your environment, change your people. You have to have an entire behavioral paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hang out with the wrong people. These people are just bad. But you like to be with these people because that's your comfort zone.
That's true.
And then you end up basically hanging out with these people, but you're not in that level anymore. Now I'm not saying this happened to Pritchard, but you're a collegiate athlete or an NFL athlete, or you're somebody who's really made it big all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But you're hanging out with the low life of society, and suddenly something happens. Now you're back in with the low life of society.
Yeah.
You lose your scholarship. You lose your NFL contract. You lose your MBA contract. And suddenly now you're broke. And now you're under all these lawsuits and personal. Look what happened to O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
What a mess that man turned into. And you see it over and over and over again with professional athletes. They don't grow past where they need to grow. Their comfort zone says, we like it at 70 degrees. You're at 78 degrees. We have to do whatever it takes to get back down to 70.
Yeah.
And you will do whatever it takes to destroy your own life. I've seen it so many times. And I've said to people so many times, don't allow yourself to self-sabotage.
Well, and a lot of it, what happens is because, like you said a second ago, when you're building up, when you say you're building a company or you're building growth or you're building wealth and you're growing, your body and your mind continue to grow up as you do it. What happens is a lot of these athletes, the same thing that happens with people who win the lottery.
With trust fund
it happens
too.
So fast. Oh, trust funds. I mean, I knew one kid. He was big trust fund of a giant candy conglomerate. And I mean, the kid's life was just a fiasco, like 5 DUIs, license suspended for years. And what happens is they get into so much money so quickly, they have no idea how to regulate it.
Well, and plus they're hanging out with the same people.
They hang out with the same people, but now they're worth $5 or $10 million.
No, I've seen it. I've seen it. I knew this one person. She's a woman and she was a trust fund baby. Parents had tons of money. And the mother completely controlled her entire life, every aspect of her life. And it happened over and over and over and over and over again. And then what ends up happening is a lot of times, listen to me, this is really important. You know, you have to really watch out for mother-in-laws and mothers. And I love them. Moms are the greatest in the world. But some moms want to control everything. They want to control every aspect of their child's life, including up into their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s. And a lot of these women, these mothers, they don't want to be alone when they get older. And they will sabotage their own children's lives in order to keep those children at home. I've seen it over and over and over again.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I was talking to one of my good buddies in Tampa. He was dating this girl that does, like, professional makeup. I mean, $400 or $500 for stuff like weddings and stuff like that. And I was talking to him, and I said, who's the worst clientele to deal with? I said, I'm just curious, because I know you're charging a lot of money. You're doing this. She goes, the worst people to ever deal with are mother-in-laws on wedding days.
I believe that.
She said that specifically. Yeah. She said they absolutely cannot deal with trying to not have control over everything and complaining and fussing. She said they had to put a clause in their contract. Listen to this. A clause in their contract that any type of verbal abuse or physical threats will be met with them leaving the job site immediately with no refunds, because they've had literally mother-in-laws threaten to beat up the makeup artist because it's not this perfect way. It's funny you bring that up, though. I was talking to you the other day about that.
No,
it's horrible. Okay, no. I'm not picking on anybody with this. I just thought it was interesting.
No, I'm not picking on any individual. I'm going to say this is a problem.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I remember, how can I say this in a way that doesn't draw too much attention to myself? Oh, it couldn't have been me that this happened to. Never happened to me this way. But maybe it was. You know, you get married and all of a sudden the mother doesn't want you to be married to who you're married to. And they do everything they can to destroy or sabotage the marriage. I have seen it. And I've seen it repeatedly. And you think, well, they wouldn't do that. Well, you shouldn't have married him, or you shouldn't have married her, because they're not good enough for you. Or they're too old for you, or they're too young for you, and they got to get involved and meddle instead of just basically being happy for their kids.
And this is something to be aware of, too, because it happens in that situation with in-laws, but it also happens with some of the friends you're around. I've seen this with certain people that I've known over the years. You start getting certain, you know, you watch a couple get together and they're going, well, then her friends or his friends, most of the time it's female friends, they get jealous And all of a sudden they go, well, he's not doing this, and he's not good enough for you. You don't need to put up with this, and you don't need to do this. And all of a sudden it starts to cause division in the marriage or the relationship because she's hanging around with all these negative friends, or he's hanging out with all these negative friends, and all they're doing is bad-mouthing and talking bad. If you're friends with somebody and they get married, regardless of how it is, in most cases, you need to do the best you can to try to support them. Now, if it starts getting really, really bad, something they need to get out of, that's a different story. But be very cautious on talking really, really bad negatively about anyone, because quite frankly, this is what I learned a long time ago. Really, really smart people constantly talk about ideas, dreams, goals, visions. Really, really based people, really, really dumb people in most cases, all they want to do is talk about other people's problems all the time and gossip and talk and chatter about what everybody else is doing. They never have any goals. They never have any dreams. They never have any visions. They never have any direction. All they want to do is complain about what everybody else is doing on social media, this and this. You'll notice that in conversations with people.
You're right. And you know, here's what I've seen. I've seen it personally. A woman starts dating a great guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Guy's great. And all of a sudden her friends are jealous, Austin, that she's dating this great guy. And now all of her friends come in and they start nitpicking.
That's exactly right.
And they go everything, they do everything they possibly can to destroy the relationship. And most times they do.
That happened to my buddy in Tampa. It got to the point, he's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
No, but you see it because of friends. That's why, show me your friends and I'll show you your
future.
There you
go.
Ladies, listen to me. If you're hanging out with a bunch of negative women that are unbelievably bitter and angry, if you're not careful, it's going to rub off on you.
That is a fact of life. Same thing with guys.
If you're
hanging out with a bunch of guy friends and all they want to do is complain and fuss about everybody and talk about how poor they are and how sad they are and how sick they are, how they have a horrible marriage, I promise you with 100% certainty, you hang out with them consistently long enough,
it will rub off on you.
It will rub off on you long term.
Now,
it always does.
What I like is guys that go, wow, Way to go. You're dating a great lady or whatever. That's the way it's supposed to be. I wish the absolute best for you.
Yeah.
I hope and pray that this works out for you. Remember, courtship after marriage. Continue to tell your wife, your girlfriend, how much you love her, how much you care for her every single day. Make sure you kiss your wife. And I'm not talking a peck on the cheek. I'm talking a real kiss every day. Make sure you do that. Let her know how important she is. That also releases oxytocin. You need to keep that kiss going for at least 6 to 10 seconds, not a peck. Just let you know that, by the way, because that is the best way to maintain a healthy relationship with your wife and continue to date her and take her out on dates and tell her how much you love her and hold her hand and don't put her down in public. Don't walk in front of her like you're some kind of dictator. And ladies, don't walk in front of your man either. You take his arm, you take his hand. You know, don't put them down in public. Don't correct them in public. They say something you don't like, both male and female, you say it to them afterwards. Don't make them ridicule. Don't tell wife jokes. Don't tell girlfriend jokes. Don't tell boyfriend jokes at their expense. Don't be doing stuff like that. If you do that kind of negative stuff on an ongoing basis, what you're going to do, you're going to destroy the marriage. I've seen it over and over, and you'll destroy the relationship. And get away from people that are negative about you and your relationship.
The fact.
It will absolutely destroy your relationship. And it won't take very long.
No.
It won't, because all of a sudden, well, she said this about you. Is that true? Well, no.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Why did she say it? I don't know why she said it, but there must be some truth to it because she said it.
Yep.
Well, I don't know what's wrong with her. She's psychotic. Oh, no, she's not psychotic. And now you're in a fight. You're in a fight about her friend, and her friend is at home sleeping with the covers pulled over her head. She didn't even know you're in it.
Yes.
Okay? All of a sudden, now you're in a big fight between you and your girlfriend or your wife, and the person who started this stuff's not even involved in this stuff. Don't hang out with people. You know why I'm right? It's crazy. I've seen it over and over again.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, anyway, that looks good.
This
bud.
Looks good. No, this is like all you right here. I saw this for baked chicken.
Oh, chicken and vegetables. Yeah. Imagine this.
I saw this article came up here, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, man, I'm hungry. I'm like, I wonder if Dad's got any chicken and vegetables in here. And we've got a couple white potatoes for some carbs. You know me, I like a little bit of carbs on some stuff. Get more energy and fuel and workouts. It says why eating right beats eating less.
It's true.
Oh my gosh. What a concept. It says, instead of cutting calories massively, focused on balanced portions and whole foods to support long-term health, sustainable energy. This is what I've told you guys all the time, especially what Dad's talking about with chicken and vegetables. Right?
It's the best.
Rice. You can't really get fat eating chicken and vegetables.
I mean,
you can eat a freaking plate of them four or five times a day.
Years ago, I entered a bodybuilding contest. I was eating three chickens a day.
Yeah.
No, three. They were little chickens. But I was eating three whole chickens a day with a couple bags of vegetables for like 3 months before the contest. and I got shredded. I ate so much food, I stayed stuffed all the time.
Yeah, you're pretty full, though.
No. The first couple of weeks, I didn't lose any weight.
Yeah.
It just got kind of stabilized, and all of a sudden, my body said, oh, I know what we're supposed to do here.
Right.
This is great. And it started cutting fat, and I'm going, what the heck? All of a sudden, I had a full six-pack. I had veins all over my abs, and I thought, this is pretty cool. And well, but I tell you what, though, that's a phenomenal diet to get clean on.
It is. And what happens, and you don't stay hungry all the time. You're not starving. Now, again, I've talked about decreasing caloric intake. This, a lot of times, that's for people that are eating entirely too much food. But if you're already in decent shape and you're trying to lean up for something, whether you're going on a beach trip or you're going on a cruise, not Carnival, and you want to basically lean up.
Never Carnival. Which includes never Holland America.
Still, what it does, it still maintains your size and strength fairly well without losing a ton of muscle tissue. This is one of the issues that I was watching an article on the GLP again with Ozempic the other day. And they were saying, here's the problem. They said, everybody's using Ozempic to lose all this weight, but nobody's exercising, nobody's eating any protein.
There you go.
So they're going straight catabolic. That's why you see them all of a sudden, like, I've lost 80 pounds, and they look like a walking skeleton. This is not the way to lose weight. It says right here, it says people begin their weight loss journey. They constantly want to eat less and less and less and less and less. Now, again, if you're eating, you know, two extra large cheese pizzas every day for lunch, you probably need to eat less.
Yeah, with 2 gallons of, you know,
yeah,
soda.
Two liters of soda.
By the way, we know somebody who did that. They were, what, 500 pounds?
Like 550, yeah. That was his lunch.
Yeah, it was just lunch.
Dinner was was something with dinner, and then it was always he ate a tub, one of the tubs, not the pint, the tub of Bluebell. Every night, a tub.
So to maintain 500 pounds, you've got to be taking in at least 20,000 calories.
Yeah, 15,000, 20,000 calories a day. That's you got to cut your diet back. It says right here.
And he was smart, too. He knew about health. He knew about diet.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
It says decrease basal metabolic growth. We've talked about this before. So if you're not exercising, you're not eating enough protein, what happens is your body, your basal metabolic rate starts going less and less and less. So you got to try to cut your calories back less and less and less to actually burn body fat because the body.
Very, very unhealthy.
Very unhealthy because the body goes into survival mode. It's not getting enough protein, so it's going catabolic. It's not getting enough calories, it doesn't have enough energy. So it thinks, crap, I got to slow down everything. I got to conserve anything I can.
Goes into a fasting mode.
Basically, it thinks you're out in the desert with no food. That's what it thinks. And your body goes, I'm not burning crap right now. I'm doing nothing.
And then you want to eat everything.
And then you go in that rebound mode. You just eat 5,000 calories in one meal and binge out. It says muscle loss. Dieting also does not only reduce fat, but leads muscle loss.
Just right here. Humans are not machines. Prolonged, deliberate suppression of desire to eat can then lead to strong rebound. You just said that. Once you start craving food again, you may feel that your weight loss efforts have failed. That may lead you to give up entirely, adopting it. I'll do it later mentality and regaining the weight plus more. And remember, when you lose weight, you lose about 10% muscle mass if you don't train and have enough protein.
Correct.
And that muscle loss is permanent unless you're training with the weights.
Yeah.
And so your metabolism goes way down. I mean, way down. I knew this one lady. She ended up basically weighing 170 pounds, like 5'1". And then she said, well, I want to go ahead and have a gastric sleeve done. And, you know, the doctor says, you're not heavy enough to do that. You've got to gain at least 50 more pounds to have a gastric sleeve. She said, okay. So she gained 50 more pounds. Went up to 220. Oh, now we can cut out 2/3 of your stomach. This is great. Okay. Well, then she ends up cutting the stomach out, and she loses like 50 pounds. Wait a minute. That's where she started, was 50 pounds less at 170. Well, now she's stuck at 170 after she had the gastric sleeve. So now she has to go into a starvation mode, which made her hair fall out, and she didn't change her diet. She kept eating junk food, and suddenly she wasn't getting enough protein. Then she also ended up with what they call the Ozempic face.
Yeah.
And now she's got all kinds of gastrointestinal problems. And basically, it's a sad part of the reality of life is that when you allow these guys to come in and start whittling away on your gut, they're going to cause problems. Because remember, those cells that you're cutting out of that stomach, 2/3 of the stomach was taken out, they produce hydrochloric acid, Austin. Yep. And that's what digests your protein.
And then what happens, too, you also start having a massive decrease in uptake of nutrients as far as deficiencies.
The hair starts falling out. You start getting wrinkles. Your skin starts to sag.
Anytime you start going in, where you're starting to burn body fat, you're starting to cut, you're starting to diet, you're starting to change your diet, it's absolutely crucial you also throw in the Ultimate Multiple Powder. If you're not going to take anything else, nothing else from us, don't care if that's it. I love you guys. Appreciate the support. But if you're not going to take anything else, take the Multiple Powder.
You better take this, too.
Well, the collagen is protein.
Yeah, you better take that.
The Multiple Powder, it gives you the full spectrum mineral and vitamin balance.
Well, you know, but you think about it for a second.
This is great, we figure
this lady needed to lose about 50, 60 pounds,
yeah,
not 120 pounds. So if she had just gone on a really slow weight loss program, And it won't be, by the way, it's not a weight loss program. It's a healthy diet.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. It's like the guy who comes in our office every day. I love this guy. He's lost 100 pounds. His skin's tight, but he's taken, what, 2 years to do it?
Yeah.
And he says,
no drugs.
No drugs. And he just said, and he just changes. See, the thing about it is, you can't use a diet. It's got to be a lifestyle. You come to my house, you won't find a tub of Bluebell.
I'm getting very hungry.
Let me tell that chicken.
I keep looking at that.
but you won't find a tub of Bluebell.
No.
You won't find, you know, pork.
You might find a pint of Haagen-Dazs that my kids bring over.
Not in my house you won't, because I'm going to eat it. You know, and so it's just one of those deals that you've got to change your mentality. You have to eat to live, not live to eat.
That's exactly right.
That's the mindset. It's like, how many calories do I need? How many grams of protein do I need a day? Yeah. I'm not going to be a foodie, in which I'm going to be entertained by everything that I eat. I knew this one lady, and she was up from D.C., and this lady was a professional chef. She actually had a company that ran professional chefs for athletes, and she would have people come in and create these giant spreads. And you'd go out with her, and man, she wants to order everything on the menu and eat anything they need. And she's already up about 30 pounds. And I told her, I said, you keep doing this, you're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
The problem with that, too, is you're going to burn through some doggone cash. I mean, you're going out to eat.
This lady was interesting. She would go, she said, well, I never send anything back. So what if it's not cooked?
Well, okay.
Here we go.
There's two.
Here we go. You're ready. Here we go.
There's two sides of that. I worked in a restaurant. You have two.
Okay. So I'm on a date with her, right? She orders some steak.
Yeah.
And she gives me a piece of it. I'm cutting it with a knife. It won't cut.
Gosh, one of those.
No, yeah, it was one of those shoe-high steaks.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you could put it on the bottom of your shoe and nail it to your foot. I mean, it was one of that steak.
That's why I don't want to fix. I just want a new steak.
Well, no, and plus we'd already had all these, you know, she'd already ordered all these appetizers. She wasn't even hungry anymore.
Appetizers are really unnecessary in most cases when you're a restaurant.
And so I finally, the waiter comes over and I said, you know, please just take this off the menu. Take this off the bill. This is awful. And she got unbelievably mad. She goes, well, I don't return anything. She goes, I've ordered up to $200 worth of food before, and it was all bad, and I just paid for it. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah. And I told her, I said, you know, this is the South. This ain't Washington, D.C. with all your weirdos up there.
Bro.
You know, if you don't have good food, we don't keep it. If it's bad, we don't eat it.
No.
I said, I said to her, maybe the thing is you don't need to order five, you know, appetizers or six entrees.
Yeah, to test try them all.
And leave them all on the table.
My main thing, if I go out to eat, my only reason I usually go out to eat is I like a filet. I like a restaurant that has a really good steakhouse filet. And steak, I'll tell you right now, this is a little hack that I learned at a really nice steakhouse. I don't like rare because a lot of times it's cold and bloody. I don't like medium rare because it's entirely too tough. If you go to a good steakhouse, you always, if this is the way you like your steak, this is me personally, you order rare plus. A good steakhouse know exactly how to cook it, and it's cooked perfect. The inside's really warm, but it's still really red, still not bleeding, perfectly balanced. Rare plus, that's a hack I learned about 4 years ago.
And why haven't you told me this?
I told you this a long time ago. You don't listen to me.
I do. Oh, I do.
You come in. You take all my product. He takes all my product from me, and then I tell him something cool, and he's too busy taking all the product. And I have no product.
I do take a lot of product. But I went to the steakhouse the other day, and I ordered medium rare. It came out kind of cold in the middle. I thought, I don't
rare
like this.
Plus. If it's a good chef, they know how to cook it correctly.
But it was good steak, though.
Yeah.
And that's what I told this lady when she ordered some kind of weird steak cut. I said, why don't you just get a filet?
Oh, yeah.
Filets are almost always good.
Some of those exotic ones, I mean, they
like flanks and all that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Some of them can be done well. I've tried a lot of them, but I went a long time ago. Good steakhouse, good quality meat. I'm going out to eat. I'm not there to waste money. I want to enjoy steak that I don't have to cook. I just get the filet. Because a lot of times the other ones, you know, like, I got a 20-ounce ribeye. And I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, I got this big steak. It's half bone and fat.
Well, and then you get out. Then you have to get a meat cleaver out with a hammer.
Yeah.
Trying to cut it like that because it's so tough. And you're like, this is great.
Well, you got
to
think about it, guys. When people order, like, steaks, like, well done, your stomach and your body has to digest all that meat that basically it tastes like you
tough.
Just cut it off your boot.
Yeah.
You sit there chewing on them, just water.
By the way.
I got to put this out there.
Okay.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, when he kills the turkey.
And
they're sitting there chewing on it. And they're chasing it with water. Next story.
Kind of Massey to hold a news conference with Epstein victims. People are going to be outraged.
Ooh,
wow.
That's interesting.
This is a very, very good article. It says, with Congress back in session this week, Democratic Representative of California, Republican Massey of Kentucky, are reigniting their push for the Justice Department to release the Epstein files. Connor says that people are going to be outraged after seeing the news conference he and Massey are holding on Wednesday with 10 victims of the late convicted sex offender.
Whoa.
This is a big deal.
I didn't hear about this yet. Yeah, yeah. I guess Congress just came back in.
Well, it's going to be today. The news conference is part of the effort by Keanu and Massey to pass through the House a bill requiring the Justice Department to release its files on the Epstein case. These victims haven't spoken for decades. When Epstein got that lenient plea deal, no one talked to the victims or to their lawyers, he said on Monday in the Fox Digital interview. My belief is when American people actually hear the victims for the first time, they are going to sympathize and their hearts are going to be broken. And all the victims are saying is foreclosure, he predicted. He argued there are a lot of other rich, powerful men, politicians, and business leaders who have committed abuse and who have not been held accountable. That's what we're going to hear on September the 3rd. And people are going to be outraged. And I don't see how after that the House can't vote for release of these files. Though I can't. I can tell you how whether because too many of the House members are in that file.
You know why?
Yeah, that's why.
Because Israel threatened to release it. Mossad will threaten to release the files on them.
If they pass it. Oh, yeah.
Don't send me letters on it. I've talked to enough people about this.
The White House handling of the Epstein case sparked outcry earlier this summer after the Justice Department and the FBI appeared to close the book, said nothing to see here. This move infuriated many of Donald Trump's MAGA supporters and allies. And the president aggravated some of the MAGA world a month ago by calling the Epstein files a Democratic hoax. And arguing that past supporters had bought into this bull, whatever. Keanu and Massey are optimistic they have the votes. I'm confident we're going to get the 218 votes for a discharge petition, Keanu told House Digital News Media. And he interviewed ahead of addressing the New Hampshire AFL-CIO's annual Labor Day breakfast. We've got 212 Democrats and 12 Republicans, including Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. Look, this is about not about Donald Trump, and it's not about being partisan. It's about justice for the victims of the rich and powerful men who abuse underage girls. I'm talking about girls as young as 10 years old, 8 years old. We're talking about perverts here. You know, these girls weren't 20 years or 25 years old. They weren't that. They were young girls. And the sad part about all of this stuff is that these guys knew it when they were doing it, most of them, and they didn't care.
Well, no, and a lot of it was all done to set up to get dirt on these guys. You know, like I said,
Mossad.
One of my best friends, you know, he was an airborne ranger, and then he did multiple contracts with GRS, which is Global Response Staff. They're the main contracting security agency that the CIA uses. He worked for the agency, did multiple contracts with them. And he said almost every single time the CIA was involved in anything, it was always a joint operation on the side.
Always.
They always were involved. They may not have been shoulder to shoulder the entire time, but they were always swapping intel all the time.
Jeffrey Epstein was Mossad.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I mean, my gosh. I mean, how much? Read the book, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Mossad is Israel. And, you know, Jeffrey Epstein worked for Mossad, who worked for Israel. I mean, send me letters
on this. One of the most important things the agency uses to basically manipulate and control situations is getting intel and dirt and blackmail on people. That's how they use confidential informants. The FBI uses the same thing.
J. Edgar Hoover started
And that has been, for the longest time, the easiest way to control certain situations. Because you get people that they do stuff against their will that they normally do because you threaten them with blackmail. You say, hey, listen, I'm going to oust you on this. I'm going to put you on this. Or I'm going to throw you in prison for here. We're going to release videos in Texas of you doing this. If you do this, then it doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. Okay.
Here's the good news. Trump's deputies win 93% drop in unaccompanied alien children border smuggling. Well, what about the last 7%? That's still too much. ICE officers have slashed the cross-border smuggling of migrant children and youths by arresting the U.S.-based illegal migrants who fund the smuggling, often with wages from U.S. jobs. The Associated Press reported on September the 2nd that the illegal migrant parents of smuggled children have been arrested when they try to pick up children from government shelters. Nisa Deal, managing director of human rights at the National Center for Youth Law, said the change provides U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement a built-in opportunity to arrest parents, something she says that has already happened. The arrests are deterring migrants from using the government-run unaccompanied alien children smuggling route, which ferried more than 500,000 youth under Joe Biden's term, Austin. Well, you know, here's the problem. And, you know, in the Bell of Freedom, I believe is what Jim Caviezel's movie was, wasn't it? The Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom.
He shows that these kids are actually in magazines and online, and you can pick which ones you want, and they grab
like
the kids.
Catalog.
No, it's sickening.
It's disgusting.
You know, and half
it's
a million.
Disturbing.
Because these kids, they're not going to parents in the homes. These parents were coming in and then using that to facilitate trafficking the children. That's what's going on here. This is some sick stuff, Austin. I mean, it's horrible.
Well, that's why, I mean, if they actually bring a lot of these victims out, as far as with Epstein, they start talking about this. I mean, this is going to start a world one today if this gets released,
Okay, let me stop it again for a second. Let me step it back a notch. The Kabbalah group of people that run the planet, the Sabbatean Kabbalah's Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, this is a sex death cult. A lot of these children are used for human sacrifice and the sexual rituals. And you say, oh, gosh, Ted, that was intense. Yeah, I know. It's awful. And that's the problem that you see. You see all these kids on milk cartons, they never show up again. They just disappear. They don't take them off the milk.
They don't put them on anymore.
They don't even do it anymore because they don't get it. They never are found. I mean, you know, why these kids that are abducted like this, a lot, that's why I'm telling you, and listen to me, this is super, super important. If you're somewhere in public and you're walking down the street and you've got your kids with you, either you tie a leash on them if they don't listen or you grab them by the hand. I'm not joking, you know, but put a doggone strap around their belly.
You know, I've seen it. When I used to go to Disney, I saw some parents.
Oh, they do?
I used to make fun of the parents, and now I look back at it, and I'm like, you know, they did have a big leash on them. They're hooked on their belt. Mm-hmm. They only get like a 5-foot tether. Well, and I'm like, oh, gosh, why'd they do that? And I look at it now, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of looks ridiculous.
And make sure you tie the leash in a lot, and make sure it doesn't have a clip on it. So you can unclip it and take them.
Just get a hook on the front.
You know, I mean, just be really careful with your kids in public. I mean, if you're going to take them on a bike ride, you keep them close to you. Don't let them get a quarter mile ahead of you.
The biggest thing a lot of times that people don't realize is that most of the time child abductions, from what I've talked to with law enforcement, they're not usually a off-the-cuff, all of a sudden a kid's just somewhere for a few seconds and somebody's right around the corner and they've never seen them. Most of the time, these are situations that people scope out and they watch what's going on and they look at who they're with. They see if who they're with is a threat or a possible threat. One of the reason why is most of the time when they've interviewed some of these guys, they will say one of the biggest things they looked at is if the father was with them, if the father looked like a threat. If the father looked like a threat, it was a no-go. Don't do anything. Don't try to pull anybody because there's too much confrontation that's going to occur. Okay. They want to have it smooth.
Okay, here's the deal.
That's what law enforcement said.
Number one, God, I hate to say this, but get people mad. Number one, you got to look like an alpha male. You don't need to be a pencil neck. You need to work out. You need to be in shape. You need to dress accordingly. You need to walk. There's an old song there was an old singer. What was her name? It was Linda Ronstadt. And she was singing a song with Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
No, it's funny. And she was talking about if you know a guy, you know he's real, that you'll know he loves you by his kiss. Okay? It's a cute song. Here's the thing. If you know a guy and you know that he's an alpha, you'll know it by his walk.
You see when you walk in the room.
You'll pick up – the room will notice when you walk in because all of a sudden you know, okay, this guy's an alpha. You see it immediately.
Okay, so it's in a hand.
So walk like an alpha, not like a girl.
I've been around enough guys as far as –
The Four Seasons did it. It said walk like a man.
Yeah. What happens is it's an inherent trait in nature. It doesn't even matter with human beings. It's in every aspect. Other men recognize threats. You know, when you walk in the room, if you feel that you're sitting there at lunch and you walk somebody come in, you'll notice anybody that walks in, you can tell whether or not they're going to be a threat. You always assess.
Or potential
people.
Threat.
Potential threat. Not that they're going to be, but potential threat. The energy in the room changes. You got to be aware of this. That's why guys that do private security and stuff, their skill set is so desirable because they can watch an entire situation, every scene, and say, okay, that guy's possible. High probability, he's 100%. He's going to do a hit. And so what happens is you got to start being aware. Not that you're paranoid or walking around like, oh my gosh, but where you look at things, you assess things, you notice things, and you pick up on things very quickly. That way you're never surprised. The element of surprise is the most effective way to take somebody and grab them and do something. The element of surprise. Because they're not ready for it. It's very difficult to abduct a child if you got a father right beside him that's carrying a concealed firearm, that's looking at the other guy in the eye going, I see you seeing me. I see you looking at my kid. You touch him, I'm going to kill you. That's not a real easy engagement.
Perfect example. I'm in San Diego years ago with Sharon. I've told this story before, and I'll tell it to you again. And we step into an elevator. Some guy runs off the street, outside elevator.
Yeah,
unbelievably stupid. The guy jumps in there with a homeless guy or whatever he was, looking to basically rob us. And I turned around and I saw him, Sharon standing between me and him. I knew what he was going to do. I grabbed Sharon and pushed her behind me. And I looked at him. I said, I'm the wrong guy. You don't want to do this. You're about to get hurt. And he looked at me kind of funny. And he looked at me and goes, oh, will you please let me off the elevator?
Yeah.
Okay. He knew that he had stepped into the wrong elevator with the wrong dude. And see, you've got to be, doggone, I hate to say this because, you know, we're Christians, but you've got to be that guy. You've got to be willing to defend your wife and your children. You have to. Okay, let's change topic.
Anyways,
I got to cover this. What do you statistically, like? Almost impossible. 4 ADF candidates have died suddenly and unexpectedly before a key state election in Germany. These are the guys they classified as neo-Nazis.
That's right.
They're not neo-Nazis. They're nationalists. 4 of them have died before the national election. This is statistically impossible. So now Germany's basically killing candidates. Unbelievable. Whoever, somebody in Germany. Well, I know who it is. Oh, the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan that controls Germany since World War II. Just thought I'd mention that. What's your next story?
Another article just came out on Curcumin. They call it the firefighter of inflammation.
I love that.
I like that. So, yeah, firefighter of inflammation. It says curcumin is the primary ingredient in turmeric, which is in the GHI cleanse, and we have it in the turmeric force. And it goes to detail here talking about how it boosts memory, cognitive function, fights inflammation, oxidative stress, and arthritis. You were just talking about osteoarthritis earlier. This is one of the great products, curcumin, that really reduces inflammation.
Got to tell you a story. Yesterday, I went to a barbecue place in Plant City.
Okay.
And I got some beef brisket.
Okay.
I mean, it was great.
Yeah.
Man, last night, I don't know what else was in the baked beans or whatever, but I tell you what, I woke up with my bicep itching like crazy.
Probably some tomato basing. You're funny with tomatoes.
Okay. And I thought, this is great. So 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm waking up, and I'm scratching my arm. I'm thinking, this is awful. So you know what I did? I went in the kitchen.
Handful of turmeric?
I took 10.
Yeah.
And I said, this will take care of it. And within 30 minutes, done.
Yeah.
That product is unbelievable when it comes to allergies and other inflammation in the body. So, yes, Austin's right. And we have turmeric at the office, and it really, really works. The stuff we have comes out of Germany.
Oh, yeah.
It works amazing.
No, it absolutely is. That's one of the reasons what it talks about in here is it goes into detail about
the
reduces inflammation, helps out with type 2 diabetes. It's what they're claiming, not me.
Well, the Journal of the Indian Diabetic Association said if you start on turmeric, if you're pre-diabetic, it 100% stops type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
That's what they said. I'm not making that claim. But I will say one thing. It's a great product, and I take it every – I usually take 10 a day. That's when I get up in the morning, I have my 2 purple sticks – with a scoop of the vitamin C powder in it now, and I take 5 turmeric and basically 2 B complex every single morning when I first get out of bed. And yep. I'll tell you what, it makes
we a got huge it. Difference. It says, listen to this, curcumin doesn't just mask pain, it slows joint degeneration.
Oh, I
so, you know
that.
What's interesting about this is that there's no research that I've watched with it, but imagine stacking the collagen peptides with turmeric. As far as for joint health, along with like the joint rebuilding formula.
Well, I just did that this morning because
yeah.
I took that a minute ago with my protein powder.
You're still getting
and my purple stick. I took the purple stick, the protein powder, and that, and I took the turmeric first thing this morning. So I stacked it already.
Yeah, that's where it's so strong in the gym.
You're right; it does work great. That's why I'm pretty strong.
Yeah, because that's the biggest thing that I've found with a lot of retired bodybuilders and guys that I've met over the years is it's a lot of times it's not the muscles,
it's the joints.
It's the joints. They always tell me, they said, "Enjoy your joints now, son. Enjoy them." They said, "You're going heavy on that stuff. It's the muscles still there. You still maintain it. It's the joints start wearing out."
Well,
on
the
you.
Problem with it is that the guys go too heavy. And they start pulling on the ligaments and the tendons.
Yeah.
And they don't need to do that. I mean, you just increase the reps. I mean, Boyer Coe taught me that. He said, never do squats. He said, superset leg press with leg extensions. Superset leg extensions again, or leg curl with leg press. He says, don't be, loading the spine.
Well, that's why I like walking lunges for stability exercises. I mean, and you don't have to, the thing that's bad is walking lunges, especially if you go to failure, you don't have to go to try to grab 100-pound dumbbells.
No.
You grab some 30s or 40s or 50s on it.
First of all, let's start it with a couple of chairs. Let's not even walk.
Well, I'm not talking about it, but I'm saying
and
people,
only if your doctor says you can do
that
this.
People that are athletes involved in high athletic sports like that, one thing is
they make me sore.
Oh, but see, walking lunges works.
With no weight.
They work stabilizer muscles so much more than squats.
Oh, yeah.
Squats, just straight barbell squats are completely useless for overall activity as far as athletic activity.
I tell you what's not useless.
They mess up your
spine.
I
tell you what is not useless.
What?
Having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
No, that's not useless at all. That's the most important
thing. When you have a relationship with the Most High God and you call home, he answers and he listens. He doesn't hit you. He doesn't block and delete you. He says, okay.
Straight to voicemail.
And then they delete the voicemail.
Yeah.
Awful.
No, they call it the voicemail's full.
Yeah. No, yeah. So remember, keep your hearts and minds in Christ, for he is the author and he is the finisher. He is the perfecter of our faith, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's really important that you remember that every day. And that's why I always try to say that to you at the show, because, you know, it doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter any of this stuff. All that matters is that relationship we have with God, because we're going to be here for 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years. We're going to be with God for billions of years. Always remember that.
So one of the only things you can truly affect and change is your attitude and your health in most cases.
And your relationship with God.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's all you, though.
That's
still all you.
Well, no, God will.
That's your choice.
But God will reciprocate.
But it's your choice. It's always your choice. So decide what you want to do, where you want to go, who you want to serve, how you want to eat, what day you want to have, and what positivity you're going to have, because it's up to you on that. So, again, stay strong and healthy, my friends. Keep the truth out there. Keep fighting every day. If you need anything, we're here slinging out orders for you. We had the big, sale for Labor Day, so hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll get your orders caught up today.
Magnesium Brain Food also.
Magnesium Brain Food, over 10% off. Check it out. We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.
Hey, I love you guys. Thank you for your support. If it wasn't for you guys,
we wouldn't be here.